Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the premier law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, and serving the entire DC metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to learn more about our firm and what we can do for you, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where we will focus on audio, video, and articles of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning. Today, I think that mergers and acquisitions are going to be our topic of discussion, and I think there seems to be an increase in the potential for these types of transactions in light of the fact that we've resolved our issues over tax reform. Well, at least tax legislation has been resolved for at least another year until we tackle tax reform. And so we know a little bit more with a little bit more certainty what the tax rates are going to be on sales of businesses. And they're not as bad as they could have been, the transactional taxes. So I think a lot more movement is occurring in the merger and acquisition market, particularly in the case of privately held and closely held companies. So with that in mind, I wanted to focus on the fact that not only is it a great time to merge or buy a business, but I think there's also a few things that you need to be aware of, mistakes that can be avoided in your planning if you're doing the buying, or if you're a seller, things that you need to be aware of as well. Number one, I think the number one mistake that people make is loving the deal too much. In other words, you've set your sights on a target, or you've got your eye on a buyer, and the negotiations become drawn out to the point where you want to do anything that it takes at all costs to get the deal done. So your resolve to get the deal done overwhelms maybe what better judgment might dictate. In other words, you're a victim of deal frenzy. Some CEOs or business owners see an acquisition that may add short-term sales and profits and put them on the cover of a magazine or in the Washington Business Journal or local newspapers for all the wrong reasons. In other words, a successful acquisition might really not necessarily mean short-term profits and short-term gain. It means long-term benefits for the company. That's what a successful M&A transaction yields. So you have to maintain your discipline throughout the negotiations in an M&A transaction. That's sage advice from Sandy Weill, who's the former chairman and creator of Citigroup. You can get carried away, he says, feeling you have to get this thing done. And before you know it, you throw all caution to the wind just so that you can get the deal done. Look at the AOL and Time Warner merger as an example. In other words, they really didn't have a strategy behind how the acquisition would play out after the acquisition. They just thought it made a lot of sense because one was in the internet and the other was in print media. Both were in media and it should work okay, but it really didn't work okay. Many buyers are prone to make the same mistakes over and over again. In other words, there have been, the idea of capturing market share is really important. And then, figuring out whether or not it works after the fact. Don't fall in love with the deal. That's the bottom line. Because if you fall in love with the deal and you lose sight of what the strategic benefit is for your company, whether you're a buyer or you're a seller, and what the benefit is for your employees, particularly if you're a seller, will it necessarily play out the way you want it to if you just get caught up in getting the deal done? Avoidable mistake number two is being not careful or being uncareful in conducting your due diligence. And we've talked about due diligence on this show many times before, but you get caught up in the deal frenzy and you make the avoidable mistake number two, and that is failing to really dig in or pay attention to the due diligence side of the transaction. Buyers tend to focus on the financial aspects of the target. For example, they'll run all these fancy corporate models and cash flow projections, and they try to predict the future and make adjustments for risk, applying fancy discounted cash flow formulas. But then they fail to do the most important stuff, that is, legal and technical and regulatory due diligence. Or they also fail to focus on the fact that key employees may not be happy with the acquisition after the closing of the deal. And if you don't have your key employees come forward after the transaction closes, then you really don't have a successful transaction. You have an unsuccessful deal. So due diligence requires that you investigate all of these things. Now, emotions tend to undermine due diligence. Companies run out of organic growth, and so they look to buy market share, and they think that acquiring a company in the same market is going to necessarily become a strategic buy, when in fact, it really isn't. There may be synergies between the companies, but they haven't done the due diligence to really figure out how the companies fit together. So you've got to do your homework. When you acquire another company, you cannot let your broker or your consultant, you know, convince you that you've got to get the deal done simply because their commission is based on the deal closing. Extra due diligence may be required, particularly in this current economic climate. You've got to look behind the numbers. Don't just look at the numbers. So conduct your due diligence, legal due diligence, technical due diligence, and financial due diligence, and be very careful if you're the buyer, so that you don't buy a pig in the poke. Avoidable mistake number three is getting married without being engaged. And we've talked about that both in terms of marketing as well as doing mergers and acquisitions. You know, you go out to lunch with somebody and you have a great lunch and the intent is to develop business with a person. At the end of the lunch, you ask, well, can I have your business? That's getting married without getting engaged. It really does take time to get to know who your customer is. And in this case, In an M&A transaction, it takes time to get to know the target if you're the buyer. Key to any successful acquisition is understanding the human capital element of the business, the things that the people do for the business that make it as great as it is. And if they're not treated well financially or they don't fit into the combined entity culturally, the business case for the deal may just have walked out the door. If everyone leaves, you didn't buy anything. I know, you know, you may have bought contracts or you may have bought technology, but if everyone leaves who can operate the technology or who can help you with the contracts, then you have nothing left. Those who aren't downsized may leave because they sense their futures aren't bright. So it's also making sure that your human capital stays if you really feel that it's important to have that going forward. There was a recent study that indicated that workers who were affected by a merger and acquisition transaction in the recession were 2 times more likely to leave the combined entity than someone at a company not involved in an M&A transaction. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind. So these are important facts. Avoidable mistake number four is what one author calls a cultural faux pas. In 1993, Volvo and Renault decided that they would merge. Volvo, a Swedish automaker who was extolled for safety and engineering of its cars, and Renault, a French automaker highly regarded for its vehicle's design and style, decided to tiptoe into the merger with a joint venture. Looking back, the JV was the smartest decision they made. The rest of it was disastrous. There were too many cultural incompatibilities to make the merger work. And not only did each company have a dissimilar brand that made it difficult to imagine the kinds of cars that the combination would produce, but the ownership was off-kilter. Volvo was investor-owned, while the French government owned a majority of Renault. Needless to say, it really didn't work out. So you need to undertake cultural due diligence as part of your due diligence, and you have to examine what relationships are going to look like across the company, how work is going to get done, formally, informally, how customers and external parties are going to be treated, and what the learning environment's going to be. Avoidable mistake number five, paying more than it's worth. Sandy Weill rode herd on some of the mega deals of the last century, acquiring Primerica, Shearson, Travelers Group, and Salomon Brothers, among others, before vacuuming up Citi. Not that he hasn't walked away from a deal or two. He said, "We were set to acquire the consumer finance business of manufacturers Hanover, and it would have been a pretty big deal, but the price got beyond what we felt was the value, and we dropped the talks." The converse, failing to blink at too high a price, describes the acquisition of medical device maker Guidant by Boston Scientific in 2006. And a few months later, Boston Scientific issued recalls or warnings on nearly 50,000 Guidant cardiac devices after the merger. So obviously, you know, paying too much for a company without really knowing what it's worth is a dangerous proposition. Avoidable mistake number six, and the last one for today, is not respecting the boss of the other company. Failing to get the pulse of the other guy sitting across the table in a planned acquisition is a big no-no. You have to give enough attention to the fact that the other CEO doesn't really want to sell the company, particularly if he was the founder of the company, and he may want to continue to run it. Whereas the buyer is trying to integrate an organization that may have been dragging its heels as a result. And finally, they figure this out and they have to retire the CEO or retire the founder. It's crucial to ensure an important role for a target CEO, assuming he or she is actually worth keeping. For example, when Procter & Gamble acquired Gillette, Gillette's CEO got along famously with P&G's. They made it a point to get along, and they made it a point to integrate the companies carefully. If you've got questions about what mistakes to avoid on mergers and acquisitions, or if you've got questions on how to go about buying or selling your company, give us a call at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100, and one of our corporate attorneys will give you a call back to tell you what you need to do to get your M&A house in order. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.